Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Board Games Daily, your daily dose of tabletop gaming discussion on Anchor. Now welcome your hosts, Jeremiah Isley, Scott Firestone, and AJ Skifstad.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a new week of Board Games Daily. It's Monday, it's August 21st, and summer is done for. But, you know what's not done for? Board Games Daily, Theology of Games. Thanks for tuning in, we're really glad you're here. We've got some cool stuff coming up for you today. We've got AJ's take on our topic, which is old games that are still good games, talking classics. We also are coming at you with a cage fight, a game night cage fight. And here's the cool thing about that is we're actually changing up the formatting on the days that we do the poll and we do the questions and we introduce the fight and we tell you who the winner is. So I'll explain all of that in that segment coming up shortly. But until then, I need to tell you just a few more things that I tell you every week. One, thanks for tuning in. Two, get a hold of us. Be a part of the conversation. It's so much more fun when you interact with us and be a part of the show. How can you do that? I'm so glad you asked because you're the smartest listeners in the world. You can do that by finding us on X at Theology of Games, at Board Games Daily, Instagram at Theology of Games, email us theologyofgames@gmail.com. And you can go to the blog and click the contact us thing. Thanks for tuning in. We're powered by Theology of Games. I'm out of time.
Hey there, everybody. It's AJ here, and it's my turn to weigh in on the topic. We're talking about oldies but goodies this week. Games that live on your shelf that are really old and they still hold up, even though there's a lot of hot new games out there. And it could be because they're just nostalgic to you. It could be because they've got a theme that you appreciate that you haven't found in other games. Maybe mechanically they do something better than a lot of games that are coming out today. And for mine, it's almost all of the above. Now, this game that I'm talking about is a game from 1995. It's a little bidding game by Rainer Knizia called High Society. I've talked about this before. I love this game. Essentially, in this game, you are in this Victorian era bidding war where you're trying to gain members of high society to your friendship. And in doing so, when you have acquired the most points at the end of the game, you will win. Now, before I go on to talk about this a little bit more, I want to say that there's a new game that I talked about a few weeks ago called Big Top that I picked up at Origins, which is also a very cool bidding game. It's bright, it's vibrant, it's beautiful. And as I play this game, it made me think of High Society. And right now, I enjoy it more than High Society, but I don't like it more than High Society. I'm enjoying it more because it's new, it's fresh, but essentially you're acquiring circus performers to your circus and you're bidding on them throughout the round and they have point values on them and whoever has the most points at the end wins. Now, there's a lot more going on than just that, but at its root, that's what it is. And same with High Society. You've got 10 members of High Society numbered 1 through 10. And you don't know when you're going to flip those cards and what numbers are going to come up when you flip them. But when you do, the lowest member of high society is the 1, the highest is the 10. And you'll bid on them. Everybody has the same amount of money in their hand, and it's all done with cards. And you'll place down money on the table that you want to bid on that member of high society. And you'll go around until everybody passes and there's one person left. That person discards their money from their hand. They no longer have that for the game. But in the meantime, you got to see what kind of dollar values everybody else still had in their hand, which is very, very cool. Also, there are some other cards that are going to come out in high society that are detrimental to you, such as, I think there's one called a faux pas, which is just a negative 5 points. There's another one which causes you to have to discard a member of high society that you already have, or if you don't have one, the next one that you acquire, which is not bad if you only have the one card. But in any case, you're going to be paying money not to take those. So everybody around the table will bid money not to take those. The first person to pass takes the negative card, but they don't have to spend any of their money. So if you're feeling like you can take on that negative card, you bid it up as high as you can before you decide to pass and take that card. Really, really neat game. It could end before you see all the cards based upon a couple other things that come out. There's some multipliers that people want, that they're green cards. When the fourth green card is drawn, the game ends immediately. I love this game. It is so good. It's been redone several times. The last printing was done by Osprey Games, and it's beautiful. Big tarot-sized cards for the members of high society, and smaller, regular-sized cards for your money. And that's it. That's all you need to play this game. It's super cool. Now, I went ahead and I sleeved my members of high society in cards because I play this game so much that you're going to start... that these cards are going to take wear and tear, at least in my house they will. But I like this game so much that I think you will play it that much. You might even want to sleeve it yourself if you were to pick it up. It is such a good game. Last thing I'll say, my favorite part of this game is you can't be a member of high society by just having all the good friends in high places, but you've also got to have money. At the end of the game, whoever has the least money, regardless of how many points you have sitting in front of you, is automatically out. They lose. So you have to be so careful with your money to make sure that you're holding a little bit more money than somebody else at the table. Pick up High Society. I'm telling you, it's a game that it's still my favorite bidding game that there is, even though there's new games like Big Top out there. For Sale's not new, but For Sale's been around for a while. There's other good bidding games out there. This one is my favorite. 1995, Reiner Knizia, still has legs to stand on. Pick it up, check it out. You're gonna love it.
All right, here we go. It's time for this week's Game Night Cage Fight. And like I said in the intro, we're changing it up a little bit. We're changing the format, sort of. More or less the timing of how we do this. We used to announce a new cage fight every Friday and then give you guys like a week to vote on it and all that stuff. And then announce on the next Friday who won last week and then who the next one, what the next fight was. And we just felt like it was a little, I don't know, just a little too much on Friday. So what we're doing now, we're shortening the time frame. We're going to announce on Monday who the participants are in this week's cage fight. And then you have till Friday to get your vote in. So get your vote in early, get it in often if you want to do that. That's cool. But you got to get it in before Friday because we're going to announce the winner on Friday. We're going to let you guys rest. There's no fighting on the weekends, right? We're going to just chill, kick back, enjoy some time, playing games with friends and family over the weekend. Back on Monday, back to the fights, and then we go. So that's the plan. That's what we're doing. So here we are this week, Monday, August 21st, 2023. The participants are literally every Lord of the Rings game there is. Yeah, I'm going to let you think about that for a hot second. There are so many. So we couldn't really pick, like, hey, which two should we put up against each other? Or it's like literally a cage fight. We're throwing everybody in there. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be gnarly. There's so many good ones. I'm gonna rattle off some that I really like, and then I'll tell you who wins for me, and then we'll let the internet do its thing and discuss this. So, my gosh, where do I start? One of the first games that I ever played as like a gamer was Middle Earth, the collectible card game, which was amazing. It was like the Cadillac of collectible card games. I loved it so much. It was really, really great. There's the Hunt for the Ring. There's the Journeys in Middle Earth miniatures game, which AJ has played a ton of. There's the dice building game. There's the Reiner Knizia Classic that Scott just talked about a few days ago. So many great games, and there's a ton that I'm missing. I know it. But the one that wins it for me is the... It's so good. It's like in my top five. The Lord of the Rings, the card game, the living card game from Fantasy Flight, cooperative deck construction, the living card game format. It is kind of a money sink because you have to keep up with all the adventure packs and everything. But everybody got all the cards. Like, we'd buy all the cards and we all sort of had our own decks. So we'd split those up and build the decks out and tune them up. I still have all the decks intact. They're so much fun. I really want to play this game again soon sometime. Maybe we'll do that. But that's who wins it for me, is the Lord of the Rings, the card game for Fantasy Flight. So which one wins it for you? Let us know. Hit us up on Spotify for podcasts. You can comment on this episode or find us on social media. We've got polls up. Let's do it. Who wins the Lord of the Rings Battle Royale?
Thanks for joining us today. Board Games Daily is powered by TheologyOfGames.com. Don't forget to head over to TheologyOfGames.com to check out all we have to offer, including written reviews, our YouTube channel, and two other podcasts. If you enjoyed this show, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you're listening. Thanks for listening, and go put a game on the table.